We're going to celebrate for a while this morning about the risen Christ and what he's done for us and what it means to us and what does it really, really mean. Did it really happen? Did it really happen? I mean, I want you to, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the faith part of it, but I want you to go back to the natural part. Do you really believe that a man 2,000 years ago was dead, went into a tomb or a burial, or we could say even like cemeteries and graveyards like we have today, that he went into that sepulcher? And I mean, do you really, really believe that he rose from the dead? Do you? Just say amen. You really, really believe that he rose from the dead? Yeah. You know, if that our whole system of belief, our whole Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he did not rise from the dead or raise from the dead, whatever you say, how many knows we are of all men most miserable? Amen. But he did. He did walk out of that tomb. He did walk out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, and nothing in history had ever happened like that before, and nothing in history has ever happened like that again. And so I want to show you why this morning, why the resurrection is not just an ancient piece of history that's been around for 2,000 years ago. I believe it's the most present, the most personal, and the most powerful truth that we as an individual will ever encounter: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled back. Death is defeated. And Jesus is alive. In Matthew 28 and verse 6, the scripture says, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." On that first Easter Sunday morning, the disciples discovered that the tomb was empty. They ran, but the empty tomb was not the sign of an absence. You got to get this. It wasn't a sign of absence. It was a sign that life had been imparted. It was the announcement that the presence of Jesus is still with us. How many knows the grave couldn't hold him? And death couldn't keep him, because he was the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. What a wonderful time today to be talking about he's alive forevermore. And you know what? Everything Jesus promised, everything Jesus said, everything he did is still true today. If he said it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and if you have the red letter edition of the Bible and you see where Jesus spoke, everything he said is still true today. Amen. And the truth of the matter is this: if he got up, that same resurrection power dwells in us. I believe it's Romans chapter 8. He that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. How many knows he can raise us up too? We don't have to stay down. Some of you may be on the bottom today. You may be crawling on the ground. You may have come in here today with a heart full of shame and a mind full of grief and sorrow. You may have come in here today with bad news, but I want to tell you something. Because of the resurrection, it is proof that we too can get up, because it was his resurrection was a demonstration that we can rise also. And you know what? Someday, literally, we, these bodies, are going to rise to meet him in the air. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I am looking for him today. It may be years before he comes, but it wouldn't surprise me if he comes. The Bible says no man knoweth. Nobody knows the hour. We might know the seasons, but nobody knows the hour. And so we do know that he is coming again, right? And these bodies will literally be transformed, just like his was transformed, into a spirit being and rise to heaven and be with him in the air. So let's get on with this today. How many think you can handle 4 points? Ready? Point number one. You might want to write this down. Or take a picture or whatever. Number one, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let you in. Don't you love that? Not to let Jesus. How many knows he didn't need somebody to come and roll that stone away? I mean, Jesus could have went and blew on that stone and it would have rolled away. But the stone was rolled away not to prove that Jesus is out, but to let us in. The Bible said that the angel descended and rolled back the stone. Again, Jesus did not need somebody to roll the stone for him. He already had resurrection power. But listen to this. The stone was rolled away so that and the grave was empty and death had no hold on him. And hope is alive today. And sometimes God will move things not for him, but for you. You just missed a good chance to shout amen. So that we can see more clearly, he will move some things out of our way. How about that addiction, that fear, that shame, that guilt? How about that ugly past? Anybody got an ugly past? Don't raise your hand. Put it back down. I didn't see that hand, Jennifer. McFarland. But God wants to roll that stuff out of our lives. He wants to roll it away today. I'm telling you what, if God can roll away a stone, he can roll away your struggles. You don't have to live with those struggles. Yes, we will have trials and tests and temptations, but because he rolled the stone away and he's not in the tomb, he's not there where he used to be, he's now living in us, we can rise again to new heights in him. Amen. See, that's point number one. You ready? Point number two. We're moving right along this morning. Point number two, the grave could not hold him because purpose is stronger than death. Now, that's a good statement right there. Don't let that just blow right over your head. Come on, look at it again. The grave could not hold him because purpose, how many knows he had purpose? Purpose is stronger than death. In fact, Acts 2:24 says, it was not possible that he should be held by it. Death tried to hold him. Hell tried to keep him. The grave tried to lock him up, but it wasn't possible because Jesus had purpose. May I tell you this morning that every one of you sitting in those maroon-colored chairs and you that are on watching live in your recliner or still in bed with your pajamas on, those of you that are in the car watching, shame on you, but I want to tell you something. Jesus rose to prove to us that those struggles in life can be lifted away from us. He did it to prove that he's got purpose and you've got purpose. And no grave can hold you down. Remember that song? Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. I bet you could sing that one. And I bet Tiffany could sing that one. I know Darlene could sing it. Amen. But there's times in life, and I'm telling you, we've all lived life. Some of us have lived longer than others. But man, sometimes it feels like something heavy has rolled over on top of our future. Try to picture that. Something has rolled upon our destiny. Something has rolled over to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. Maybe it's a stone of disappointment. Amen? Maybe it's a stone of betrayal. You ever been betrayed? Have you been betrayed by a spouse? Have you been betrayed by a good friend? Have you been betrayed by somebody that you thought was a friend? Maybe it's a stone of failure, a stone of delay. And the enemy will shout as loud as he can, this is the end. The stone is stopping you from your calling in life. It's stopping you from your purpose in life. I want to tell you something. God still has purpose for you. You're not too old. If this guy can sit in a plane for hours and hours and hours on a little skinny seat and go over and preach 3-4 times a day, I want to tell you something, you can do it too. God's got purpose. God called us, he's purposed you, and what he's purposed you to do, he has equipped you to do it. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You can bury a you might be able to bury a body, but you can't bury a promise. The same stone that was meant to seal him in became the evidence that he got out. I love that statement. It was to keep him in, but it's proof that he got out. What is meant, listen, to contain you will become the testimony that God brought you through something. I don't know, when I was writing this down and studying it and preparing for it, I got all excited. I thought, man, Sunday mornings, they're going to be hooping and hollering and shouting in this church, and y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Listen, this good stuff, folks. This good stuff this morning. I don't have to have your amen because I know it's good. Amen. that setback, that addiction, whatever it is, that thing that you're, that closed door, maybe it's a closed door, but the very thing that tried to bury you, God will cause it to come to fruition, that you will be able to walk in your destiny and in your purpose. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. So John 12:24 says that a seed must fall into the ground and die to bring forth life. Now, how many knows it looked like the seed was buried? But I'm going to tell you something. It's not buried, Trace. It's planted. There's a difference in buried and planted. Jesus was planted. He was the firstborn of many. Can you say amen? He was the firstborn of many sons that would be born again. Touch somebody and say, you're coming out of it. See you guys. Have a good time. Tell them you're coming up out of this. Point number three. The resurrection changes everything because now we have life and not just religion. Thank God we don't have religion. Don't you just love it when you go into the hospital? See if you can do something about this, Krista. Melissa, where are you at? See if you can do something about this. Michaela, see if you can do something about this. Tammy, see if you can do something about this. Any other nurses in here? When you go to the hospital and you fill out this form, they always want to know, what religion are you? Do you ever just want to write non? I'm non-religious. I'm a believer. Religion kills. Religion destroys. Religion traps you. Religion buries you. Religion does what happened to Jesus. It was religion that put him on the cross. It was religion that nailed him to the tree. Listen, folks, religion still kills today. But Jesus said, I didn't come to give you religion. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. You just missed another chance to say amen. In a hospital, when they hook you up to a heart monitor, as long as you're alive, how many knows it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down? But how many knows when it flatlines, it's over? How many knows that before Jesus came, humanity was flatlined spiritually? Humanity was flatlined. But how many knows Jesus, on that third day, life came back. He got up, and we are now walking in that same resurrection life and resurrection power. Amen? Amen. Point number four. Maya, are we moving fast? We may have to do eight this morning. Who said no? Oh, boomer. Well, just because he said it, we're going on. Number four. The invitation is for everybody. No one is too far gone. Romans 10 and 9, all you have to do, you're not so far gone that Romans 10 and 9 will not work for you. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not too broken. You're not too far gone. You're not too far buried underneath that thing that's holding you down. I know you got a past. We've all got a past. I would hate for my past to be up here on this screen. I would find a hole to crawl in and never come out. We've all have a past, don't we? But there's nothing that will keep you from Jesus from coming into your heart, because all you do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. You are not too messed up. Say, well, Pastor Rhodes, I've fallen off the wagon. I get my year pin. Is it a pin or a button or whatever? I get it every, and then I fall off again. And then I'm off for 3 months. And then I do it again. And I just keep falling off the wagon. And I can't, I'm addicted. I'm a drunkard. I just can't stop it. I can't stop it. I'm too far gone. Listen, if Jesus can get up out of the grave, he can raise you up also. The Bible said, he's not here. He is risen. There's a last part of that four words that I left out. Just as he said. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Can you say that with me? Just as he said. You know what that means? He knew before he went in that he was coming out. He knew when he was hanging on the cross that it wasn't going to last. He knew that it was only going to be three. I guarantee you he knew it was only going to be 3 days, because he said, you tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. It didn't take him by surprise. And because he came out of that, he went in knowing he's coming out. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, whatever is pressing you down and you feel like it's burying you into the ground. You know, when you plant grass seed, you don't just throw it on top, do you? You know, Dwayne, I've had Dwayne plant some grass seed before. He just throws it on the ground. Then he takes his boots and he dances all around it. He wets it down. And then he just dances. He said, that's all you got to do is just dance. Well, maybe we need to start dancing. That wasn't in my notes, folks. That was just... Listen, you're not dead. You're planted. I know you're going through things today. I know it's tough. But Jesus predicted it. I'm coming out. I'd like to hear some people today that you feel stuck, you feel buried, you feel under the weight of something. I'd like to hear you say, you know what? I'm not going to stay here. I'm coming out because it's Resurrection Sunday. I'm just going to live in the resurrection. If Jesus came out and that same spirit dwells in me, I'm coming out as well. Somebody say, yes, Lord. There was a biology teacher once brought a cocoon larvae into the class as a part of a science project to demonstrate the metamorphosis and life cycles. It was to help the students observe firsthand how larva transforms inside a cocoon, eventually emerging as an adult insect, such as a butterfly or a moth. I went to YouTube and I did a slow motion, a time-lapse thing of a cocoon on a little leaf or on a branch and watched it transform, metamorphose into a butterfly. It is amazing. It is amazing to watch that if you watch it in slow motion. But anyway, the students watched this for days. Finally, one afternoon, the cocoon began to tremble. A small hole appeared. The butterfly inside struggled and pushed. And one student, seeing that, wanted to help. So he took a small pair of scissors and he widened the opening for the butterfly to come out. Yeah, the butterfly did emerge quickly and easily, but the butterfly never flew. His wings were small and shriveled. The students learned later that the struggle through the narrow opening is what pushes fluid into the butterfly wings, giving it the strength to fly. You know what? Maybe we just need to wait a little longer on the Lord. Maybe the Lord's helping us to build up some strength to get through these things. Amen? Maybe the Lord's just saying, just hold on a little bit longer. You're going to make it. I'll get you through this. Amen. But if you come out too soon, amen? What looks like death, what looks like confinement, what looks like a permanent burial ground could be a preparation for transformation. Ooh, I like that. Preparation for transformation. 3 days in the tomb was not God losing control of the world. He knew exactly what was happening. God was preparing for that butterfly to push through that cocoon and come out so that we could live also. Listen, God knows what he's doing. Everybody say, God knows. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. He's preparing for the greatest transformation in history. And so Jesus didn't emerge as a resuscitated corpse. He was alive and well and a new creation in Christ Jesus. During World War II, families would get Western Union telegrams, and they usually weren't very good telegrams. They would usually say something like, we're sorry to inform you, but your son was killed in action, and we will be sending his body back just as soon as possible. And by the way, Jeff, is your son here today? Mikey? Is that Mikey? Mikey, thank you. You're in the military. Thank you for your service, Mikey. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. And I know you've been out deployed somewhere overseas or something, but welcome home, and we're glad you're here today. First time to see you, my friend. Thank you for coming. But the Western Union, you know, nowadays they have chaplains and the higher-up officials come to the door to tell you. But back a long time ago, it was just Western Union would come, and they'd always have bad news. But sometimes instead of a tear-jerking Western Union report, you would see that guy walking up the drive with that little telegram in his hand, and you'd always think the worst. You'd think the worst. But it was not always a death notice. Sometimes it was a liberation notice. Huh? One mother, upon receiving such a telegram, ran out into the yard, began waving the paper and waving her apron and shouting out. The note said, "Your son is alive. He has been found. He's coming home." How many knows that's good news? That's good news. Listen, there's good news for you today. It's not over. I know you got a pipe in your mouth and you're breathing through the ground and you're trying to get that air, but it's not over. I believe God is preparing you. He's preparing us. Listen, Darlene and I have been through so much in the last month, you would not believe the junk this church has been through. But we're still breathing. We're not going down. We're not going under. We're still breathing. I'm here. Hear me, devil, I'm here. Not going anywhere. On that first Easter Sunday morning, a new message went out that it wasn't from Western Union. It was from the angel at the empty tomb that said, "He's not here. He is not risen." I mean, he's not here. He has risen. That's what you get for writing your notes. Early Sunday morning, before the sun rose, before the crowd gathered, before the disciples understood, before the sunrise service, Jesus got up. And you know what? I believe this morning that you can get up also from depression. You can get up from setbacks. We can get up from guilt. We can get up from sin. If you believe that, shout amen. You can get up from anything that's tried to bury you and hold you back. We've all got purpose. We've all got destiny. We're all on a journey. Amen. I know the devil thought Friday was the end. And how many knows the demons and devils and spirits were rejoicing and hell was celebrating on Saturday. But on Sunday morning, something shifted. I wonder if I can get about 5 people in here today that will shout, "Something's about to shift." It's not over. It's not over. Now, I wrote in my notes a long time ago for the praise and worship to come up, but I forgot to tell you. So praise and worship, would you come on up? We're really going to cut it short today. Amen. Come on up. I've got 4 more points. If somebody just say, "Go ahead," I'll do it. Do you really mean it? Okay, come on up, worship team. Boomer, he's on his way up. He ain't waiting. Come on up. Come on up. We got to go to lunch. Yes, sir. That's important. Say this with me. It's not over until God says it's over. All the women shout, "It's not over until God says it's over." All the men at the top of your deep bass voices, "It's not over until God says it's over." Okay, point number 5. Jesus walked into death so you could walk out of it. I didn't give you these notes because I wasn't going to do this, but since you all begged me to continue preaching... Jesus didn't get dragged into death. He walked into it so we could walk out of it. Point number 6, hell had a celebration, but it was early. It was too early. They thought it was party time. Demons shouting, dancing, thinking they won. They celebrated. Luke Kramer hates to go to a Cardinal game with me. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't care if the Cardinals are winning or losing, I'm leaving in the 7th inning. I'm not going to fight that traffic and that crowd. So I'll get out early, turn my radio on, and listen to it all the way home. But Lou wants to stay until the last pitch is... You too, huh? The last pitch is thrown. He wants to make sure everybody's... All the score's been tallied up. You know, and sometimes I've left thinking, "Oh boy, the Cardinals is so far behind, they'll never catch up." only to hear Lou call me and say, guess what, Dad? They won. Because he stayed and he watched the game. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody walked in the third quarter, the seventh inning of your life, and said, stay until Sunday. It's not over. Did you hear me? It's not over. Stay till Sunday. Because there's resurrection. Whew. Amen. Point number seven. When Jesus got up, chains broke everywhere. Do you know when Jesus got up, he wasn't the only one raised from the dead? Huh? When Jesus raised from the dead, the Bible says that graves everywhere were popping open. His resurrection affected other people that was going through things that were dead. His resurrection brought life to other people. Come on now. Can you imagine if you'd get a little life in you, you might bring a little life in your marriage. You might bring a little life in the place where you work. When Jesus rose from the dead, others came up also. So your breakthrough is just not about you only. Your breakthrough might be for your family. Huh? Amen. Somebody shout, I'm getting up. Amen. Point number eight. I'm running through these really, really fast. The enemy tried to seal it, but God broke it. The enemy tried to seal it, but God broke it. They sealed the tomb. They guarded the tomb. They secured the tomb. But they didn't realize you can't lock up life. I said, you can't lock up life. The enemy has tried to steal your future. He's tried to lock up your destiny, your calling. He's tried to convince you that, oh, at one time you were called, but now you're not called. You're not good enough. I want to tell you something. God broke the seal. Amen. Amen. Point number nine. The same power that was in Jesus Christ that day that resurrected him is in us. Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. By the way, resurrection power doesn't just live in heaven. It's in us today. Amen. And point number 10. You can stand up for point number 10 and stretch. I might be on this one for a while. Y'all ready to sing? You got something burning on the inside of you?
Working on it.
Let's get to it. We ain't got all day. These people want to eat.
Only give me like another hour.
Here's number 10. Say it with me. Your Friday is not your final story. Look at your neighbor and say, your Friday is not your final story. You see, Friday, Jesus was beaten. He was bruised. He was broken. And it looked like Friday was a total washout. But Friday is not final.
Right.
Say it with me. Friday is not final.
Friday is not final.
My story does not end in defeat. I would have quit a long time ago if I thought my story was going to end in defeat. But it ends in victory. Early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, early, 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 the earth shook. There was an earthquake. The stone was rolled away. The grave opened up and he got up. I'm not asking you to do that song, but I just remembered we used to do that song, He Got Up. He Got Up. So listen, this is not just another Sunday. I don't even want to say it's another Easter. This is a special day to recognize that I'm not going to stay down any longer. Jesus, by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that lives in this earth today, rose from the dead, and you can rise above anything that's killing you, trying to pull you down, and trying to destroy you. I want you to say this little prayer with me this morning. Just say this, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again. I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me, Lord. Change me, Lord. I give you everything. In Jesus' name, In Jesus' name, amen.